another episode of What More Can I Say, Skater Boy Fancast. I'm Sabra Coaches.
And I'm May from the podcast.
Are you sick? Are you okay?
No, I'm not sick. Okay. I'm just trying to be quiet because my daughter is sleeping.
Okay. I think you sounded slightly congested, and I was like, oh no, I forced you to record when you're both a mother and sick? I'm a monster.
I was sick recently. I'm now not sick anymore, but it's possible that I'm still sounding a little ill.
Sure. I'm still, I'm not sick anymore, but, like, for some reason at night, I keep still getting congested, but, like, not in a sick way. It's, like, really weird. I don't know how to describe it.
I think we have
it.
The same thing.
Okay. Great. It's the really bad cold that everyone's getting, but you test negative for COVID, and nobody around mm-hmm. you gets COVID, so you're, like, really probably wasn't COVID, but, like, it kind of felt like COVID, but, like, not as bad as COVID, so it was, like...
It's COVID Junior.
Yeah, it's COVID Junior. I mean, I think a lot of colds, like, coronaviruses are just, like, a type of virus, and I think a lot of colds are caused by coronaviruses, so maybe it's just, like, COVID-18.
Right. Yeah.
The pre-COVID.
It was like how when coronavirus was really popping off.
Yeah.
You remember when it was popping off initially.
3 years ago? Yes, I remember everything that's happened in the last 3 years. It wasn't that long ago.
Yes. I want to be so clear. I definitely don't remember everything that's happened in the last 3 years, but...
Oh, yeah. No, I did get depression because of the pandemic and did suffer some memory loss in there, but
so I guess we have no idea what went down.
Right.
But very early on, people were, like, posting a bunch of pictures of this cleaner that said that it could kill coronaviruses. Mm. But it was not talking about COVID. It was just talking about some coronaviruses that existed before COVID.
So it wasn't a lie.
Right. But it was already on the packaging. Like, people were finding it in their homes. Mm. And they were like, how did this... It was like one of those things that the internet is full of clowns. Where people were like, how did they predict? And it's like, what are you talking about? They didn't... Please, critical thinking skills. You have to have them somewhere.
Speaking of the internet being full of clowns, we are talking about the internet today. Ooh. Woo! Bow, 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 bow. So this episode, we're going to be reading the Avril Lavigne subreddits, mainly the Avril Lavigne music one. The other one is really just pictures of her being hot. Mm. There's not a whole lot there. So this is inspired by... a manifestation girly podcast that I used to listen to, and sometimes they would do episodes where they would read manifestation subreddits and, like, answer people's questions, even though, like, those people aren't listening to the podcast, they just, like, needed content. So I thought today we would do that, and we would look at the Avril Lavigne subreddit, and we would answer some questions and say things with full authority, even if we have absolutely no idea. I can talk today, guys.
I will say the Avril Lavigne subreddits suffer from a similar problem to Avril Lavigne's own problem, which is, like, not a lot of content.
Yes. So some of these are going to be, like, years old posts, and that's going to be fine.
Can you imagine if we were Taylor Swift people and we'd started a Taylor Swift podcast and we would just have nothing but content all the time? We'd be absolutely swimming in potential content.
And we'd probably have so many fans, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the issue with Avril is a lot of her fans live in other countries, and I don't know that they want to listen to a podcast in a language that isn't their first language. I don't want to listen to podcasts in other languages. No offense to your podcast. I just wouldn't know what was happening.
Yeah. I wonder if that feeling is different if you're in another country where speaking English is so common, even if it's not your first language. You know, like, we don't have that equivalent here.
No, we don't. We really...
It's so sad that America does not have a more multilingual kind of a thing going on.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, English is the most widely spoken language in the world. England just colonized a lot of places, and even the places that they didn't colonize, like, it's just beneficial for people to know how to speak English because it's the most commonly spoken language, and so therefore it behooves you to learn it. So in that sense, like, we do speak the language that will help us most likely to communicate with the largest number of people. But then also, like, my great-grandparents' native language was Yiddish. Do I speak literally any Yiddish? No, not even a little bit. Like, the whole language is going to die out, and it's partially going to be my fault.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, Irish already died out, and now people are trying to bring it back.
Well, didn't you take Irish in college?
Yeah.
So you, like, kind
of speak a little bit of Irish.
Nice. I speak no Yiddish. Literally none. Literally, my mom one time was like, well, you know, and then said a word. And I was like, I don't know what that means, Mom. No, I don't know.
Oh, man. It's so tough. I would truly love to be fluent in Irish, but it's really hard to get fluent. And this is actually similar to, well, I guess you could find people who spoke Yiddish.
There are communities that speak Yiddish, of like really insular Orthodox Jewish communities sometimes do speak Yiddish. Yeah.
But number one, it's like obviously hard to interact with those communities. You can't just like waltz on up and be like, hi, talk to me. And then like the communities that speak Irish are in Ireland. Yep. So it's really hard to get conversational in a language when you can't talk to anyone in it.
Yes. Right. Like, our obviously, being in America, our best bet would be Spanish, which I tried learning in high school, and I was not good at it.
I would not love, but I understand that I don't have the time or capacity to do this, and I'm not going to do this, but because my baby could learn another language really easily right now, I think she should learn a second language, and I would like to learn it alongside her, but I don't have a malleable brain that's going to learn a language easily.
This is my big question. I saw a play. We're so off topic right now, but I saw a play recently called Manahata, which was at the Public, and it's about a little bit about the 2008 financial crisis, but it's largely about a Lenape woman who lives in Oklahoma, and she moves to New York for a job in finance. Ahead of the crisis, and the Lenape people are native to the island of Manhattan. That's why it's called Manhattan, is because they called it Manahata. And so she like is kind of returning to her ancestral roots, and so it's a play about Native American people, and it switches back and forth between leading up to the 2008 crisis and the Dutch settlement of Manhattan. And so the people are communicating, and they like, these native people like learn some English, and the Dutch people learn, or I guess it would have been Dutch at the time. I don't know. In the play, they speak English because the audience speaks English. But then I guess the Dutch people are learning some Lenape. And I was like, how did that work? How did they communicate? And then I looked it up, and there was like, oh, there's this like one woman that everyone kind of trusted, and she was like really good at learning languages. And so she just learned Lenape, and then also, and then like translated. And I was like, how is that possible?
That's so wild.
Right? I'm so confused. Like, obviously it happened, but like,
right,
how can someone's brain just do that?
Maybe. So I think that what happened was, after she died, her spirit needed to go somewhere. And her soul went into the Duolingo owl. And that's why it will come after you and kick your ass and throw you into the toilet if you don't do your Duolingo lessons.
Great. You know what? I did one day of Duolingo to see what it was like to learn Yiddish. I didn't even know Yiddish had a different alphabet than English did.
Oh,
that's how far away I was. It's a similar alphabet to Hebrew, which makes sense.
That definitely makes sense.
I just didn't think about it. And because like when we say Yiddish words in New York, which we do a lot, schmear is fucking everywhere. That's Yiddish.
Yep.
We write them in like English.
Yeah.
And so I just never thought about it being a totally different alphabet. Why would it occur to you?
That's hilarious.
I feel so stupid. Okay. So anyway, May and I only speak English, and we are stupid Americans, and we're so sorry to our Croatian fans.
That sums it up really nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the traditional Irish alphabet only has 18 letters, so I don't know what was going on there.
I mean, that seems easier to learn, right?
Yeah. It doesn't have, like, some of the big ones. Doesn't have X, doesn't have Y, doesn't have Z, doesn't have Q. They don't need those.
Good. Yeah, they shouldn't have. We shouldn't have those.
I don't think it has J. Yeah, get rid of them.
Yeah, they did it right.
I think you're correct.
I actually was editing an episode where we talk about like places where we could get citizenship hypothetically if we needed to, and you're like, your mom could get Irish citizenship, but you couldn't. And I was like, I know I have some Irish in me. I did ask my dad about it. It was his great grandparents that moved from Ireland to America, so we definitely could not get citizenship.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yes, a really long time ago. But I am Irish.
Yeah.
Like, people from Ireland, so
nice.
Are we related? Maybe.
Yeah, we totally could be. I don't know what county you're from, but we could figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think anyone knows anymore. Okay, so let's start with well, the most recent post in the thread is a post that I made asking people about Avril's accent. It wasn't that helpful in terms of the responses, so we're just gonna move on. I see a post from a month ago where someone said, artist message. Hey, did anyone get an artist message for Avril in their Spotify Wrapped? I just noticed that she was my top five songs and I didn't see one from her. Was curious if anyone else did. I can answer this for you. First of all, you only get an artist message if you, like, if they're your top artist. And second of all, no, Avril didn't make one. She doesn't do that shit.
Yeah, like, if she won't do anything that we can talk about on this podcast literally ever.
She was not making a
Yeah,
Spotify
she's not
going
to sit down to make an artist message. No way. And if she did, then it would be in the style of her Over the Hedge interviews, which is to say... She looks like she doesn't want to be there. And she says something that doesn't really totally make sense.
I would love for her to do one, but
right.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I want Avril to make all of the content and I want to watch and consume all of it.
I really, really hope she releases a new album in 2024.
It would be so great.
Because also if she does, she'll jump up to my number one artist. I'm positive about it.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt.
I really hope she does that.
Is that something we can manifest?
Okay, everyone, take a deep breath together. We're all going to close our eyes, and we're all going to imagine how fun it would feel if Avril released a new album and also gave us a Spotify Wrapped message and just, like, feel excited about it and be like, oh, my God, fuck yeah, this is so good. We love
it's
this.
Happening.
Yes, okay, we did it. We manifested. We collectively manifested, guys.
Good job, everyone. Now if she does release an album, we're going to say we did it.
Yeah, that'll be my proof that manifestation works.
Yeah, and we'll post this clip on Reddit and be like, you're welcome, gang.
Okay, I'm also seeing a post from 2 months ago that says, do you listen to How You Remind Me? I've never added it to my playlist, just now decided to listen to it. The song didn't really feel like an Avril Lavigne song to me. Do any of you listen to it on a regular basis or consider it to be one of her songs? I can answer this. No, I have no idea what song that is.
No, what, is this a Nickelback cover?
Oh, maybe.
Can't even question. Yeah, it's a Nickelback
cover.
Oh,
it is a Nickelback, yeah.
I have it on my playlist, but I usually skip it, says Princess Caroline. Yeah, it's better than the original and one of my favorite Avril songs. Whoa.
Ooh.
The vocals are great on it, and the production is Chef's Kiss. It says Sheep Herder, number 3467. And that's somebody I can trust. They're from a lineage of sheep herders, and they know what they're doing and talking about. And you know they listen to a lot of music, because when you're out there herding sheep, you need some entertainment. And so you got to have just hours and hours and hours of playlists.
Sure. I do sheep make a lot of noise? Like, are they really loud? Can you hear
no.
the music? Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty soft, both vocally and just in terms of their fluff.
I don't love real sheep, but I fucking love fake sheep. Like, I love my stuffed sheep that Meg can kind of see in the background.
It is
here.
Really cute.
Fucking obsessed with it. Or there's an episode of the show called Housebroken, which is about, like, house pets, and at one point, one episode, the dogs all herd sheep, and the sheep are so funny, and I'm obsessed with them.
I like sheep. They're very cute. I've held a lamb. Good times.
Is that what made you want to be a mother?
I actually held a lamb in Ireland, weirdly enough.
Oh, that feels like a very Irish thing to do.
It does. It really does.
This is an a post that I think I commented on, which says, do people not like All I Wanted, the song Avril did with Mark Hoppus? I ask because I feel like it's not talked about a lot, and I've seen some videos of people saying it's not really their thing. Personally, it's my favorite song from the album. I love the beat and how they sound together, and it just puts me in a good mood. Who the fuck is saying that they don't like this song? Like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, that's appalling to me.
I mean, I guess we know who said it. It was that one TikTok account that we've mentioned a million times. But,
right,
like, fuck
course.
That TikTok account.
Yeah, I also just love that when... I love clicking on things and seeing AvrilFan420 out there in the... getting those upvotes.
I have to get people... I have to seem normal so that when I post about the podcast, it seems like I'm actually a fan and not just...
Right.
Posting about the podcast. Yeah. Then we have someone posted, happy 39th birthday, Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Great. I didn't realize she was that old. I mean, I guess I did because we've talked about it, but that feels old.
Well, okay. Her age is something that I know that we've talked about multiple times, but I also feel like we talk about it and I don't remember it.
I would have thought she was 36.
I think I would have also thought 36.
So maybe when we first talked about her age, she was 36 and that was 2 years ago or three years ago.
Well, when we started the podcast.
We've been making this podcast, guys, for 4 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I know we've said this before, but like, wow.
It's amazing though. That's a long time.
It is.
This podcast is a four-year-old. That's like a pretty old kid.
They go to preschool.
Yeah.
In New York, you can go to free preschool at that age.
Yeah. Free school.
Free school. Avril at two German festivals include Hurricane Festival and Southside Festival in Germany. Hey, German Avril fans. Do y'all know that Avril will play at two German festivals, including Hurricane Festival and Southside Festival in your country? If you have tickets to those ones and you will go camping and see her... And if you have tickets to those ones and you will go camping and see her perform live next summer, English is their second language. Right. That's my and guess honestly, there.
If English is your second language and you're making a post like that, then good for you.
Really good impressed. Job.
Yeah.
So did you know that Avril was going to be performing at two German festivals, including Hurricane Festival and Southside Festival?
I kind of had some idea because I did look at her tour dates and everything like that, which is how I knew she was going to be in Croatia. I don't know that it had as much of an impact on me as it did on this person.
I still think we should go to Croatia. That's my hot take.
I'm already, listen, I'll get plane tickets right now.
Okay, so here's a really serious question. In Skater Boy, does Avril say A, the, or our studio? I'm just trying to learn the lyrics to Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy. In the line, I'll be at a studio singing the song we wrote, different websites say a studio, the studio, or our studio. I can't tell what's right from listening to the song. Which one do you think it is?
And then Avril Fan 420 coming in with the archival information.
Yeah, I did. I am truly saving people's lives here.
Yeah.
Take a quick pause right now and get a little bit into my personal life, and then we'll get back out of my personal life and get back to this.
Perfect.
Which is to say that a couple days ago I got dinner with someone, and it may or may not have been a date, genuinely unclear. He paid, which sounds like date, but did not try to kiss me, which doesn't mean not date, but would, if he had kissed me, that would have been definitive date. And he did say that he doesn't really have a lot of friends, and so he could just, like, want friends, but yeah, then, like, fair. He did pay. So, unclear. But I told him, because the first time that we had talked just over Instagram, I felt like he was, like, kind of flirting with me. But then I also, it looked on his Instagram like he had a girlfriend, because granted, the posts were very old, like, a year plus old, year and a half old. But they were there, and he hasn't posted that much, so they were kind of towards the top. And, like, I was also like, if you had broken up, wouldn't you take those down?
Right.
And then I guess, like, and then May and I both separately did some light stalking and figured out definitively that they're not together. And I went on this date, and I mentioned to him that those pictures make it look like he still has a girlfriend. And he was shocked, like, had not even thought that that was a possibility, had not thought to take these pictures down, was so confused. And he was like, that's that relationship wild. Ended a year and a half ago. Like, I didn't even think about it.
But it's like in the first, so I am not on Instagram, but it's like the first thing that comes up when you Google this dude, and like Sabra happened to text me his name. And I'm sorry, if you send me a full name, I'm going to Google the full name. That's just like, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, it's just something that I have to do, you know? Anyway, so his Instagram came up. So of course I click, and it's like, you know, it's a grid, and immediately there's pictures of him with a girl, and it's like professional quality photos.
Yes.
And it's so like, I don't know how you could look at your own feed and think anything, but obviously it looks like I have a girlfriend.
Yes. So confusing. So confusing. So next day, next morning even, I look at his Instagram, pictures are gone.
Wow. That's
so really I changed that man's life.
You did. You genuinely did.
And I also changed the life of this person by telling them that according to the lyric pamphlet that came with the original CD, the lyrics are, I'm with a skater boy, I said see you later boy, I'll be backstage after the show, I'll be at our studio singing the song we wrote about the girl you used to know. And then I specified, though, that that's not what I hear. I think that she says, I'll be at the studio. I'll be at the studio. Yeah, the.
I think it's the studio. That's what I would assume.
And yet, the lyric pamphlet does not say that. Okay, here's another question that we can answer definitively by making it up. Does anyone know what Gold Series means? And then they have the album Let Go, and it has a sticker called Gold Series that says Gold Series on it.
Oh, wow.
I think that means you won the golden ticket and you get to own Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, and with the new Wonka film out.
I think it makes sense.
And frankly, with the Wonka menu at IHOP being as it is.
Is there a Wonka menu at IHOP?
Okay, so I live near an IHOP. I haven't been to IHOP since I was a small child. George has never been to IHOP, but we drive past IHOP all the time. And I feel like it keeps getting weirder over there. There's always a strange sign in the window advertising a fun new menu item, and they're always whack. And lately it's been the Wonka menu, which includes what appears to be a pancake covered in purple ooze.
Ew.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Is it supposed to be like fruit compote or something?
I have no idea. I just see Wonka introducing the Wonka menu and then a pancake covered in purple gack.
Or is the purple gack that when, remember that ketchup that was purple in the 90s?
Oh my god, I remember one time, this is my purple ketchup memory. Let us know what yours is. I went to a barbecue at my uncle's house. I was very little. The purple ketchup had just been introduced. I really didn't want purple ketchup. I thought it was so nasty, but I was eating a hot dog and I wanted ketchup on it. So I go to put ketchup on the hot dog. Someone didn't put the lid onto the purple ketchup correctly.
Oh no.
It just fully opened.
No. And
my entire plate was covered in purple ketchup. And then one of my relatives made like a jokey comment about how I must really like ketchup. And it was clear that it had spilled all over my plate. But I, because I was a little kid and I didn't understand that this was an adult kind of like playfully ribbing, I thought that this person sincerely thought that I wanted to eat an entire plate full of purple ketchup. And I was humiliated. So,
how old were you when this happened?
Quite little. I don't know how old exactly, but young enough that I would have thought that.
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to know how old you were. But also, I think, and I've said this, I think, or said this in some capacity, some version of this, that part of why I don't want kids is because I was felt so embarrassed as a child all the time. And I, like, so young, such a young child, felt embarrassed all the time. And I don't want to see another human being experience that.
I think that's so funny because I do feel like you're at a unique, like, people don't realize how early people develop embarrassment as a response to things. Like, for example, when I was really little, and I'm talking like probably four, my parents went out to dinner. They came home. They were just like talking to us about it. And I said, oh, what did you have for dinner? And my dad said that he had swordfish. And I, as a joke, said, did the beak taste good? And they like reacted like it was cute that I thought that he had eaten the beak of a swordfish. And I felt so embarrassed. But then it occurred to me recently that I'm not sure if I, as an adult, am remembering that story wrong. It's actually highly possible that I was sincerely asking if the beak tasted good because I didn't understand. And then when they laughed and thought it was cute, I was trying to play it off like I was joking. And I really convinced myself that that's what I was doing. And the memory changed for me.
I will say I definitely, as a child, would try to play things off.
Yep.
Like that I was in on it or that I like was right the whole time and I knew what I was talking about and I was like six.
Right.
No.
And you don't know what you're talking about because you don't know how the world works. I mean, you're right. Kid, nothing is surprising to you because everything is surprising.
Yes.
And so of course you're going to constantly mess that kind of thing up. And so it's funny how early embarrassment develops because it's not useful to a child to feel.
No, it's terrible. And I don't want to go through it again. So, I can't believe you're going to embark on that journey and have to watch your kid embarrass herself.
I mean, it's different for me because I watched all my younger siblings be embarrassing my entire life. You know, like I was 15 when my youngest sister was born.
Yeah.
So I'm like, kids being embarrassing all in a day's work, baby.
Oh, I hate it. Oh my god, it makes me uncomfortable. Oof. I just wanted to say the actual answer to the gold thing was it's a limited edition gold disc pressing from Sony Australia's classic album range released 2017. The Gold Series CDs were sold for under 10 Australian dollars. Initially, all albums were from Australian artists, but later entries in the series have been from non-Australian artists.
That's fair. I'm going to choose to continue to think that Timothy Wonka himself came down and bestowed the golden ticket onto the Avril CD before getting a delicious IHOP lunch.
Yeah, do we think that the Avril CD is like a Horcrux for Willy Wonka?
Absolutely. Wow, this is the kind of thing that would be great for the trailer if we just took that line out of context.
We'd get all the nerds to listen to this shit.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, I feel, what, do we say this about a trailer? What did we say one time that I was like, if you went through and you like marked time code for lines that you thought were interesting, I would edit them together into like some sort of trailer or something. You never did that. Yeah.
Gotta do it. I'm looking at this Wonka menu and it's heinous. These pancakes are really upsetting looking.
Should we go?
Yeah.
Should I come to Long Island sometime?
Absolutely. We'll, you could get off the train. We could go directly to the hellscape of Willy Wonka menu, and you could get right back on the train and go home. It'd be very easy.
All right, we'll consider that. Someone posted, what style would you love to hear from Avril? Personally, I don't mind the pop punk, but not a fan of the phoning it in style of pop punk. I'd love to hear more alternative styles, electronica, and more big vocals, a la H-A-W. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Indie folk would be nice too.
What do they mean, the phoning it in style of punk pop? I'm completely fine with people phoning it in. What do I care?
I had a thought recently where I was, I think maybe it's because I read this, and I was like, is Avril really pop punk? Like,
I don't consider her pop punk, to be completely honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just pop.
That doesn't surprise me, because I was thinking about it, and I think I need to sit down and really like listen, but I think a lot of times I will hear pop punk music, and music I don't know, it'll randomly come up on Spotify, or like someone on TikTok, there's a duo who like does Taylor Swift covers in a pop punk style, or there's just like a band that will sometimes come up that makes pop punk music. And instantly, every single time, I know that this is pop punk. There's something, it like scratches some itch in my brain where I immediately know and like it because it's pop punk. And I don't really feel like that happens with Avril.
No, it's just pop, and it's good pop that I enjoy. I'm not trying to diss her by saying that it's pop. But it doesn't have that, there's like an X factor that I can't explain with punk pop.
It's something about the drums, I think. She doesn't have aggressive enough drums.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of her, the guitar on her albums is like doing something different than punk pop guitar is doing.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Doesn't have that mood.
It's not as aggressive. I feel like pop punk is more aggressive than Avril's music is.
I'm sure that people who know things about music and know why songs sound the way they sound would be able to say something much more articulate on this. But I think for us, it's just vibes. That's the pop punk vibe check.
But I feel like the vibes, it does. It's just, it doesn't actually sound like pop punk. Like, the music, I guess just the music in and of itself, not pop punk. But I feel like her vibes, like when she's performing, does feel a little bit more pop punk.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
It's very confusing, honestly. So
maybe I think part of it is like pop punk feels very, there's like an honesty about it, and there's a like scrappiness and a sort of like local guys that you maybe could know playing this music that's like very much about the experience of growing up. And she has moved away from that. Definitely experience of growing up was something that was on her first album.
Yeah.
But like thematically, she's nowhere near that anymore. And then also that vibe was never there for her because she's a person who has always had very produced music, which is, again, not a diss to her, but it does feel very different than that, like, scrappy punk pop.
Well, I think it's also hard because a lot of the pop punk that exists is men. It's, like, almost exclusively men.
Yeah, although, like, a band like Candy Hearts, they're totally punk pop.
I think they changed their name.
I'm sure that they did, because I haven't seen them do anything in a really long time.
Yeah, I think I looked them up one time. They had changed their name. I only know them because May one time saw them, I think, at Warped Tour. And then they did a song called Michigan, and she sent it to me.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you. Also, definitely Paramore is punk pop, and so is Hey Monday, although they're not a band anymore. Sad, because I really liked them. Or, like, Tonight Alive, that's another definitely punk pop, female-fronted.
Mm-hmm.
So, they exist, but Avril, I don't think, is doing the things that those bands are doing.
Yeah, Paramore, I also sometimes wonder about, because they really, maybe some of their earlier stuff, but they really got away away with it.
Certainly their later stuff is very different. I mean, After Laughter is a pop album, a great pop album that I love. But
I mean, what even, like, Hard Times is, like, kind of like, I don't know how you would describe it, but it kind of feels like a, I don't know what I'm saying, but it's not pop punk, whatever it is.
It's not like an 80s thing going on. It's got it's good. It's really good. If you haven't listened to After Laughter, do yourself a favor. That album rules. And I think it was, like, really ahead of its time, too, because they released it, and people were like, this isn't Paramore, and, like, basically didn't pay attention to it. And then a few years later, people were like, wait, this is so good.
Good for them. Yeah. So what genre do we think that Avril should do? Someone said black metal.
Oh my god, no, I don't think she should do black metal.
I mean, frankly, I think, like, I wouldn't listen to it. But, like, we've talked about how it seems like she would fit and kind of wants to be, like, a country, or not country, like, a Christian rock artist.
I think that it would be really interesting hearing her record an album like that. I think her voice would sound great.
It would, because we kind of got a taste of it with Head Above Water, that whole album. So.
Yeah. Something for the Utah girlies.
Okay, here's a good question. To fully understand music eras that I missed, I recently began comparing artists from different eras. Would it be fair to call Avril the Alanis Morissette of her generation? I ask this as someone who is realizing as of late how big Alanis was in the 90s. I knew of Avril growing up, but just because of my Disney and Nick magazines. But I was around 7 to 8 then, so I didn't get familiar with her music until I was in college, lol. I only knew My Happy Ending as a kid and didn't really like Girlfriend. That's when I became a huge fan of hers. My elementary middle school classmates talked about her, though, and in college I learned how nostalgic folks felt about her. As for this question, I guess I'm curious to know how popular Alanis was since I was too young to understand it then. I also liked how they had two unique A names. On face value, I would assume that they make sense as a comparison because they each had their respective heyday. It's not easy to record multiple successful albums. Obviously, both artists are their own, but when you compare popularity in their respective eras alongside the style of their music, are they a good comparison? What do you think, May?
I will start by saying, have you heard Alanis Morissette's cover of My Humps by Fergie?
No, oh, I have not heard that.
So funny. It's so funny. Like, she does it as a joke, and she's singing it in a very Alanis Morissette way, but it's My Humps by Fergie. And there's a video, and she's, like, being really dramatic about it, and it's great, and you should watch it, and I wish more people knew about it.
Okay, so, I'll look into it.
It just cracks me up. Anyway, as I believe I've voiced before, I don't love saying this artist is this artist of this time. It's like, to me, not a useful metric. Like, what does that say if those two people are similar? And even if they're similar, does that mean that A is the blank of B? Like, I don't know. I don't really get it. But maybe. That being said, maybe. If you like categorizing things in that way, then sure.
All right, then we see a post that I made. Oh my god, it's Avril Fan 420. If you've been wondering what's going on with all the Avril drama lately, look no further. This was 6 months ago, and it's when we talked about Mod Sun's new song that was about his breakup with Avril.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I like this post. Abby Dawn database. Is there any website or something that contains images of all Abby Dawn items ever created? Super odd and specific thing, but I'd love to be able to check off bits I have and also make sure they're genuine pieces.
What?
Oh
because
my
you,
god.
You want to like sell them? You think they're worth something? I promise they're not.
Well, but also it sounds like they want to be like, I hope I don't have any counterfeit Abby Dawn. Wow, that's hysterical. I would love that if they had a database somewhere of all the Abby Dawn clothing items. I would just love to peruse it for my own entertainment. But that would be crazy if that existed because someone would have to make it. And who would do that other than us?
And also you would have had to have, I don't even know if you could screenshot things back in the day. You would have had to have screenshot them at the time. Or I guess if Wayback Machine was able to like go back and find that
someone
kind of
did
stuff.
Suggest Wayback Machine, but I also just don't think that all of them would have been at the time, you know, up online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man, but that would be so funny because someone would need to put in a lot of effort to make that. And I feel like, frankly, I'm going to be real. I feel like we're the only people putting in true effort on the Avril Lavigne front these days.
We are. We're doing such a good work for the community. We are bringing people together here.
Yeah.
And by together, I mean into my Instagram follows. Follow me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's at Kojisatz, KOJISATZ.
Follow me nowhere. You'll never find me, bitch.
What's a song that you think is deeply underrated and deserves more recognition?
Mobile. Mobile.
My world. My world.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you guys know.
Mobile is the real answer to that question. My world is the other answer to that question.
Yes, like My World is the sort of like if you're a real fan.
Yes.
You know, the deep
I have to say, somebody said Everything Back But You, which happens to be the song that gave us Bitch Slut Psychopath.
Yes,
so
you're right, actually.
So pretty good there.
I know it'll be a little late, but you should let them know that we're happy to make Bitch Slut Psycho merch if they want it.
Ooh, someone said Rock and Roll. Oh, that's my fave. And then guess what Avril 420 said?
What?
I did comment on this post. I said after, I was surprised after Love Sucks came out that the title song wasn't released as a single. While I like the two singles from the album, I much preferred Love Sucks, F You, and All I Wanted.
Yeah. And you were right to say it.
Yeah. I'm saying the things that people are too scared to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like the Grammys have snubbed Avril. This is a good post. The Grammys have snubbed Avril. Why the heck is Avril not nominated for a Grammy Award? She deserves awards for her hard work at the amazing songs she released last year. I hate how she doesn't get any or enough awards for her amazing work. Can someone explain why she wasn't nominated this year? And then that has 3 upvotes but 12 comments, and that always says to me that something's gone wrong for OP.
Well, I was gonna ask, are you sure that Avril Fan 420 didn't make that post?
Look very carefully.
Yeah. Okay, but that's a question. Why wasn't Avril nominated for any Grammys?
Someone says the entire industry has ignored Avril for the most part for many years. I think there are many reasons, such as Avril doesn't do extremely overly sterilized, serialized performances? What does that mean? She's sexy, of course, but she's not doing all that extra stuff, and she never did.
Oh my god.
She also did an ass kiss in the beginning of her career, and she never started. Well, she was like a young teenager, and the music industry looked different than it does now, but whatever. I just think the A-list community thinks Avril thinks she's too good for them, and they're offended by that. I think she's making up a lot of things, Candidate Spirit at $4.99. I mean, Avril would still be at the top if she had more industry backing. She used to be the it girl, and she still would be if people in high places wanted her to be. Whoa. As far as the Grammys in particular, I don't know, but I've noticed the industry mostly ignoring Avril's existence for so long. Okay, this is a lot. No industry backing. She's got, like, so much backing.
Well, also just, like, frankly, the Grammys are not a good indication of, like, anything.
No.
It's just, like, I don't, it feels all very random, and like, how can something win best song but not best record? And I know that those are two different categories, and I know what the difference is, but it feels rude. Like, if you win one and you don't win the other, it's like, oof, like, was your voice bad? Like, what happened there? But it doesn't, because that's not the point. The point is kind of to give, like, a bunch of people awards.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything. So what if she doesn't win any Grammys? Who cares?
After she said she didn't really care about them, this is, wow, someone whose username I'm not going to try to pronounce. After she said she didn't really care about them during the first few years of her career, they made no effort to ever consider her again. I would be pissed too. How the hell was Let Go nominated for 8 Grammys and didn't win one? Easily. I mean, that's impressive that it was nominated.
Yeah, why was it nominated? My World is on that album, guys.
Yeah, don't they know? What would you do if My World had been nominated for Best Original Song?
Cry tears of joy.
I would also cry tears of joy. And it's like fried chicken ass is like a big poster on the front of the Grammys. They just used her face because she was the hottest thing in America at the time, then decided she was over because My Happy Ending and Don't Tell Me didn't do as well as Complicated and I'm With You. So is what you're saying that when she was very popular, her music was also being nominated for awards, and then when her music received less fewer accolades, it also wasn't nominated for awards? Because that actually sounds like it tracks perfectly to me.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know, I don't really care about award shows, frankly. I like them when they support things that I support, but, like, if it's all a bunch of, like, the Emmy nominations are, like, a bunch of shows that I didn't watch, I just don't care. I'm like, okay, so what? Like, that doesn't mean anything. It's, like, it's a really rigged industry. I don't know about music, but I know for, like, the Oscars and the Emmys, like, it really does come down to, like, how much money you're spending on these things and, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
Oh, this is actually very funny. So Organic Photograph 793 says, I can tell you that she's not nominated because they consider her punk/pop. That's why she's never been nominated ever, as far as I know. It's dumb for the big picture, but that's how it is for the Grammys. Sorry about that, because I know Avril always should be nominated no matter what. So someone comments, she's been nominated 8 times. Organic Photograph writes, she's never been nominated for a Grammy since Avril started out in the industry, so tell me she isn't because she's considered pop punk. I've watched the Grammys every single year since before she started in the industry, so I do know what I'm talking about. I'm 46 years old. I am not dumb.
Wow. Okay, I just need to say, though, the whole argument is she's not nominated for anything because she does pop punk music, and so I guess they're saying that the Grammys won't nominate a pop punk artist. Green Day, the inventors of pop punk, have won 92 Grammy Awards and have been nominated a total of 214 times.
Yeah.
So I really don't think it's that one.
Yep. Organic Photograph, are you mad? Have you been mad online?
Here's a good question. Love Sex concert runtime. What time does Avril finish performing roughly? Struggling to find a way to get home would be useful to know specifics. I don't know, 2 hours? I don't know how long concerts are. I haven't been to one in a long time. 2 hours is too long, right? It's like an hour.
Yeah, no, I guess it depends on the artist.
The last time I went to a concert, it was at the Google store, and it, update of my personal life, just because this happened right now. Perfect. I did tell this, so this dude asked if I wanted to hang out tonight, which is kind of soon from the last time we saw each other, but fine. And then I had said on this, when we got dinner the first time, that I was like, I actually really prefer when people are just really direct and don't just ask to, like, hang out or something. Like, if you want to go on a date, like, ask me on a date, because then I can say no.
Yeah.
And he was, like, shocked by this. So he asked me he was like, I know it's last minute, but, like, are you free tonight? And I said, yeah, I'm free after, like, 7. And he goes, sweet, want to grab food again? And then he texts again. He goes, sorry, let me rephrase and be more direct. Ha ha. I find you attractive. Did you want to grab food since we both don't love drinking?
Oh, okay.
So it is a date.
It is a date.
We have confirmation. He's
taking the feedback into consideration.
He
love
is.
That.
Yeah, I have a lot of... So I think he's not my person. I think he's not someone that I really want to date long term, which I'll get into specifics with May off the podcast.
But
ultimately I just want to meet my person and like just like know that it's there and like be done.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I can't wait for whatever episode, maybe it's the last episode or 2 episodes ago that we recorded, where I said that's not that with that other dude who dumped me, that's not that I think I can't do better, because I do. I was just excited by the prospect of not having to. I'm so excited to clip that and post that on Instagram.
That's going to be very good.
It is.
Put it in the promo.
So that's the update on my... personal life. And how long do we think the Love Sucks tour was? Hour and a half?
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I actually have been to concerts recently enough that I should definitely know, but I don't. I will say that you can usually find set lists online. If you go to setlist.fm, find the set list, add the runtimes of those songs together, and then, you know, give or take for little banter and obviously, you also need to factor in the opening act. Like, Avril's not going to be on stage. If it's a 6 p.m. concert, she's not going to be on stage till 8 p.m. You know, you're just
gonna... 8 p.m.? 2 hours of opening?
Yeah. For, like, a long concert? Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The one real not Google Store concert that I've been to my dad kind of purposely, like, had us skip the opener.
Yeah, I
so we got there kind of, like, 5-10 minutes before Kelly Clarkson went on stage.
It's the way to do it and all. If you're excited about the openers, then hell yeah, that's part of it. But if you're just going to stand there.
Who is the opening act for the Love Sex European Tour? I can't find the info on my tickets or her website. Who do you think was the opener?
I'm going to say...
Monson.
I was going to say just Derek Whibley.
not the rest of the band?
Nope, just Derek.
I also forgot for a second, what band is he in? Sum 41?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought maybe I was making that up. Thank you so much. I try so hard.
A true fan.
Avril relevant again. Does anyone here find it weird how Avril Lavigne has made a huge comeback out of nowhere, even getting her name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Well, you know what, Dustloose 7247? We have a whole episode called The Anatomy of a Comeback.
Yeah.
I wonder if I commented that, honestly.
I hope you did.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Thank you, Avril Fan 420, doing the most work.
I should have pretended I wasn't Avril Fan 420 and that we have either a fan or an intern who does this for me.
Oh, it would be so funny if we had an intern. I think I actually may have done a bit like a while back on this podcast about getting an intern.
Oh, we asked my sister if she wanted to be an unpaid intern and make Skater Boy memes for us. She said
no.
That's
so funny. Why do we do such funny stuff?
Why am I hilarious?
Frantically Googling, why am I funny?
I have Googled how to be funny, so you know, not that far off.
That's pretty good.
I guess it was successful, because here I am.
Look at that. I really like...
I really like this post. I'm just going to send this to you.
Oh no, why won't you just read it?
Because you need... There's a visual component that you need to see.
Okay.
So, this is by a deleted user, which I also think is funny. And the caption is, so cute graffiti. I want to literally paint the town with her. And then it's like an extremely grainy and very edited picture of Avril doing graffiti. And it just really is making me laugh. So cute graffiti.
It's also not good. It's not cute graffiti,
no,
I have
not.
To be honest.
It's not. And it's like, so hard to tell what elements of this were edited at what time. Like, I'm sure there is a picture of Avril holding a can of spray paint, but then this looks like it was just like made on the computer, of course, but then why? I don't know. I have a lot of questions about this image, and it's funny that someone would be like, look at this. I want to just be here in this grainy ass picture.
May, are you a fan of Avatar The Last Airbender?
You know I am.
The four elements to all Avatar fans. If Avril could bend one of the four elements, which one would she bend and why?
Oof. I mean, gut check fire, probably. She seems like she's a little angy.
It's really funny because the comment is fire, probably, because of her high energy and spontaneity.
Yeah, I think it would be fire.
Are you secretly 7 even .128?
I am. The reveal.
We found May on the internet.
Yeah, I actually don't have a Reddit account, and I probably should, because there are times when I want to comment on stuff, and I'm like, well, I can't, because if I made an account right now, I would have no karma, so.
Yeah, I mean, I got all my karma, frankly, on... No, actually, I think I got my karma largely on the, like, Law of Attraction thread. You didn't really need any karma to post
there,
and then I was able to post on the Avril thread because of that, and now I have a lot of Avril thread karma.
Yeah.
Let's see what my karma is. 688, is that good?
I have no idea, genuinely. I spend like a good amount of time on Reddit and I don't know how anything on it works because I simply don't have an account.
Me neither. I mean, I do have an account, but it's really for Avril purposes,
right.
We've already made a Harry Potter reference. May, are you a fan of Harry Potter?
Not really, but you know, I understand. I respect it as a property.
Because somebody asks, Hogwarts, Potterheads, what house would you say Avril is in?
It's amazing to me that people are still asking this question. I guess it was probably posted in 2023. But it's just like funny because I know that everyone has a little bit beaten this joke to death, but it's like, why are the houses like brave, boring, smart, and evil? Like,
is Hufflepuff the boring one? Is that what that's supposed to be? Aww,
yeah.
That's
dumb
sad.
As hell.
Oh.
Sorry if you like deeply identify with your Hogwarts house. I apologize.
I think when Pottermore came out, that was the website where you, like, took a quiz and it gave you a house, right? Yeah. I think I was Hufflepuff.
I was Slytherin. Here's the thing about the big critique of the Slytherin situation that people have that I agree with, because I always thought this was baffling when I read the books as a kid, is, like, at the end, when there's, like, the big battle, literally every single Slytherin leaves and doesn't help them fight the evil. And it's like, are all of those people just evil? Are you telling me that a quarter of your school was evil children and you didn't do anything about that? Like, they don't care that wizard Nazis are taking over? Because that's what they are. Like, they want to do an ethnic cleansing. And a quarter of your student body is like, that's fine with me. I'm not going to fight them and I'm going
to
go.
Yeah, maybe accept better students. It was always weird to me also that there were, like, multiple wizard schools. Like, how many wizards can there possibly be?
Yeah.
That all being said, I've never read the Harry Potter books. I did see all the movies, didn't care about them, couldn't tell you what the plots were. And the official stance of this podcast is that we don't support J.K. Rowling, so just so that's on there.
Yeah, I also think, like, I read the Harry Potter books when I was slightly older than, like, a lot of people read them from the time they were, like, 8 years old. I think I was 13 when I read them, and so maybe I had slightly more critical thinking, or maybe I was just raised by a person who desperately wanted me to be nice. And so, I mean, my mom is hilarious and also loves a good mean joke, but she also doesn't want me to, like, harbor any mean feelings towards people, right? So I was baffled when I read them about, like, how much J.K. Rowling clearly deeply hates fat people. Like, the writing about fat people is so extremely mean, and it's clear that her opinion is, you are bad and dumb because you're fat.
Yes.
And to me, that was just, like, I was like, I enjoy some of these books, but I need to take so much of it with a huge grain of salt, because that's such a bad, mean, wrong way of thinking and looking at the world that I don't trust you as an author now.
Yeah, it's hard. It's I mean, I so don't care about Harry Potter in any way, shape, or form, but I just know that, like, I think a lot of queer people, like, really felt a kinship to the books, like, growing up, and then to find out that the author is actually this huge transphobe was, like, how do we reconcile this thing that was, like, so important to me?
Right.
And I think it's just by doing that, like the parts of it you like and acknowledge that the other parts of it are bad, and, like,
it is funny because there's a character in the books where, like, you know, if you're sort of looking for this stuff, or if you're a person who, again, doesn't like people to be, like, shit on for their appearance and that kind of thing. And, like, it's one thing to be like, this evil character has these features and some of them are, you know, what we would consider ugly or whatever. But the way that she writes is very much like, because you look this way, it's obvious to all of us that you're mean, evil, bad, dumb, whatever. And there's a character who's a reporter for, like, a gossip magazine in one of the, the books, who's, like, someone that she writes about in such a way that it's a woman, but she's always describing her as having, like, mannish hands and all of this other stuff, where it's like, yeah, that stuff was probably there already if you looked for it, but I also understand that all of us were kids and not looking for it, so here we are.
Yeah. My hot take is, just don't read.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. You can avoid all of this if you simply don't read.
Don't read.
Yo, you're so right.
I think I solved it, guys.
Oh, this is going to be a good thread. I'm clicking on it right now. So someone post a screenshot.
Okay, this will be our last one. So bring us home, May.
Perfect. I think this is a great one to do that with. Someone post a screenshot of the following tweet. If you can't admit your favorite artist got at least one trash song, I can't trust you. Someone writes, what Avril song do you hate? Let's go through it.
Did AvrilFan420 say My World?
I hope so. A lot of people are saying Hello Kitty.
Okay.
Girlfriend Spanish version.
Oh, interesting. Not the other languages, just Spanish.
The one I usually skip is Knocking on Heaven's Door, unless my wife is in the car, in which case I also have to skip Hello Kitty. This guy's down with Hello Kitty, but his wife is not. Tie between Bad Girl and Hello Kitty, both fucking terrible. Oh, no. I like Bad Girl, but it's an uncomfortable song to listen to. When you hear, oh, I have not listened to this song and it shows, because I didn't know that she did a song with Marilyn Manson where Marilyn says, come lay your head in daddy's lap. Ugh.
growing up in my mouth.
Yes, I listened to this song the other day and I was like, oh my god, I hate this. It was not good. Like, the lyrics were bad. I didn't like it.
Yeah, that sounds horrendous. Someone says, Hello Kitty, Cannonball, Break of a Heartache. I just don't like that third one. I'm not calling it a bad song.
No, Break of a Heartache is great.
What I love about this is that they're like, these are three songs I don't like. Two of them are genuinely bad. For the third one, I know it's just me.
No, Break of a Heartache is so good. That's really
funny. Bad Reputation. Oh, come on, that's a fun cover. Both of these people ended their comments with smiley faces, which I like because I know they're not fighting. Cannonball, I can't stand that song at all. It's cringe.
I get that, but it's also barely a song.
It's true. The first two songs on Love Sucks suck. Boys Lie, I can't stand it. What? That's a really confusingly written comment.
Well, basically they're saying they don't like Boys Lie.
Well, it's a good song, so they're...
But boys do lie, so it's true. And if it's true, it's good.
Yeah, if it's true, it's good. Print that. And then someone says, a good portion of Head Above Water album, but Crushed is just the worst. Crush is just the worst for me. I only really like Head Above Water song, Birdie, Devil, and TMIO. I wish Bright and Lights Out were on the album so much. I love those so much more than the rest of the album's songs. That is really annoying when, like, a song gets cut from an album, but it's better than some of the songs that made it to the album.
Oh, I think about this constantly. I can't listen to it anymore. So there used to be a bunch of, like, leaked Avril songs on YouTube, and they've all been taken down. There was one called Joker, and it's, like, a cringy lyric, but I fucking loved it, where it's, like... You're a joker in bed. I don't know. It was, like, so stupid, and I loved that song. And it was cut from Love Sucks, and then leaked and put on YouTube, and now it's gone. And I'm like, I thought that it was going to come up when they did the, like, extended release, and instead they put Mercury Retrograde on that, and that song is bad, and Joker was good. Yeah. And so I was like, what happened here?
That's so sad. I will say, a suggested post for me is on r/wedding. It's coming up in the corner. It's a post on r/wedding that says, thoughts on Uptown Funk is a cake cutting song?
Anyway. Comment, no, do an Avril Lavigne song.
Yeah, seriously.
Doesn't matter which one. I'm going to say it's not the worst song overall, but the worst lyric, as we've said time and time again, and I'm going to say it again now. I'm the one who's got the dance. I'm the one who's got the prance. Yes. I think I fucked that up a little. I don't think that's the exact lyrics, but you guys get the point.
Yeah, that's just so good.
I don't know why she did that to us.
It's like shocking. I'm shocked every time.
Yeah. And it didn't need to be there. It's not even like really the same as the rest of the song. No.
Big sigh. Confusing. The Avril community lost today.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that's today's episode. If you have any comments about how much you love this podcast or any ideas for future episodes, you can DM them to me. It's at Kojisats on Instagram, KOJISATZ. I've already said it. I'll say it again, though. And yeah, this has been another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious?